If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the second chapter of Luke. And there's been a word that has just been rolling over and over in my heart, and it's a word for all of us. I've already received this word, and I believe it's a word for you and your family, your business. The word of God said in the 13th verse, "And suddenly," could you say suddenly? "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I don't know of any part of the Christmas story that I do not enjoy and love with all of my heart. So many of these verses have sustained me through the years, such as Mary's expression, "How shall it be?" When the angel told her what was coming, and the answer came, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." I'll tell you, that's kept me day in and day out and week in and week out more than once. Also that great verse in Luke chapter 1:37, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And the verse that follows it, where Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And verse 45, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth speaking to Mary there, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know, you could spend a day just saying that, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." But especially for this time, that word "suddenly" has been rolling over and over in my spirit. And really, Dr. Strong gives us this simple insight on that "suddenly." It's a sudden, unexpected event at that time and place. It's something unexpected. I mean, you may be expecting it somewhere, some way, somehow. Most people believe God. But do you believe God right now? Do you believe God today? My father-in-law used to say, you know, most people preach a great God of the past. And most preachers who believe the Word of God preach a great God in the future. But what about now? We need God now. I need God now. My family needs God now. Our church family needs God right now. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that word has just been going over and over in my spirit. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's some suddenlies. Five suddenlies that I want to call your attention. But I want to call your attention the suddenlies of the appearances of angels. When this angel came, in essence, these angels announcing the birth of Christ declared that it's a new day in every way if you'll receive it. Now Herod could have received that, but he didn't. And he died a tragic death. But the angel came suddenly. Some of you have been praying, you've been seeking God, you've been giving, your faith has been on the line. And I'm here to tell you, get ready for suddenlies in your life. Get ready for those sudden, unexpected events, even in times and places where you were not expecting it right then. How that when Pharaoh was closing in behind, God spoke and said, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy you see today, you'll see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace." I love when David returned and found that everything that they held near and dear was either burned or their children, their wives, and all the animals were gone. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. It lets me know that no matter what happens in your life, you can encourage yourself in God. It lets me know that no matter what sea you may face, what sea of impossibility, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And you can do it on good, sound, biblical basis. Oh, I love all the way through the Word of God how I love 2 Chronicles chapter 20. when everything was impossible. You'd have to be in the ministry for a while to identify with some of these situations. When everything was impossible and pressure was coming from every side, and Jehoshaphat feared and called on the name of the Lord and called his people to fasting and prayer. And God brought supernatural, divine deliverance and intervention into his situation. And I want to say to every person in this house today, if I did not believe this, I'd fold my Bible and walk out the back door and said, it's been good for these years, but I don't know how to make it from this point on. God has never failed us. God has never failed us. God has never failed you. God has never failed this church. God has never failed any minister that had his faith on the line. And if your heart's right, and if your faith is right, and if you'll just hold steady in patience, there's a ram in the thicket for you today. God has an answer to your situation. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. I've had so many people try to talk me out of that, but don't waste your breath. I'm hopelessly addicted to the fact that my God is a God of the impossible. He specializes in that. In fact, it seems like God just rises to the occasion when he walks into a totally, utterly impossible situation where somebody is putting their trust and their faith in God. You can take your Bible and believe yourself out of any circumstance. You can come out of any disaster. You can come out of any setback. And I want to just tell you this. Our prayers have just begun, folks. I said, our prayers have just begun. We have a generation, we're raising a generation of saved humanists in our churches. They have not been taught. They have not had the values. They have not been taught, as so many of you have, to tell the truth, to do the right thing. Situational ethics is taught in our institutions of higher learning. And you tell the truth when it's convenient. If it's not, you tell a lie. If you get caught, you get a lawyer. So, I mean, you just keep moving on here. And all of a sudden, suddenly, church, you know, if we'll pray as hard for some things as we pray for other things, we're going to see some real suddenlies in the months to come. I mean, we get on our pet project and we'll just pray and fast and pray and fast. But folks, we need to pray every day. It's time to pray. It's time to pray as we've never prayed before. It cannot be business as usual. Whatever it takes and however long it takes. It may seem slow in coming, but watch it. Suddenly, God is able to break across this nation in a way that we've never seen heretofore. God did it through Charles Finney back in the 1800s, and God can do it again. Just as God did it actually in the 1700s, God can do it again. Get ready for supernatural, sudden, angelic appearances. If you'll receive it by faith, it's a new day in every way. You say, but you don't know my life. Probably just as well I don't, and I could share a few negatives with you too. But you can't go forward living in the past. You must go forward. There's another suddenly that blessed my heart in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 13. The suddenlies that surrounded the birth of Christ. All of a sudden. You know, man, I'll tell you, in a pastor's week, sometimes you think, God, I'd give anything if this week would just be over. Not many, but there's a few. Did you ever have a day when you'd say, man, I'd give anything for this day to be over this morning? But all of a sudden, God breaks through. There's a letter in the mail. There's a phone call. Somehow there's a quickening of God in your heart that some way, somehow, God's going to bring everything out all right. Suddenly, listen to it. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host saying, praise God. Glory to God in the highest and peace toward men. I don't know if that excites you, but I think that's beautiful. Goodwill toward men. Suddenly there was a star of hope. Suddenly angels appear. Angels on assignment. In fact, surrounding the birth of Jesus is a series of supernatural suddenlies. And I believe in the end time there's going to be a series of supernatural suddenlies that are going to surround the life of the believer. Whatever you're into, get ready for suddenlies. Get ready for stars of hope, not doom and gloom. Get ready for angels to appear. Get ready for faith to arise in your heart. Get ready for unknown names and people to become spotlighted in your life. Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth. Who are these people? They're God's people. And God's going to bring some people across your pathway in the next few months that you'll say, where have these people been? And they'll come and they'll minister and they will give and they will pray and they'll rise to the occasion. Divine appearances. Supernatural appearances. Get ready for divine appointments and divine connections. Divine appointments and divine connections. You know, that person that you may wonder, what are they doing here? You may be glad when you find out why they were here. You may be glad when you open their check. You may be glad when you hear their word of encouragement. Amen. Divine appointments, divine connections. Are you expecting that? As much as I pray for that on a daily basis, you think that would be on the tip of my tongue. Divine appointments, divine connections. You know, you may meet an angel before the day is over. You may wake up in the night season and big 10-foot angel in your bedroom. And all the things you thought you'd say, you can't think of a word. Divine appointments. My life has been changed so many times by meeting one person that God sent into my life. One visit, one phone call, one letter out of all the other negatives of maybe a day or a week or a month, and God sends one person into your life that makes the difference. Start believing for that. Amen. Start believing God for that. Unknown names and people become spotlighted in your life. A Mary, a Joseph, a Zechariah, an Elizabeth. Names and people known only to God now, but they'll be known to you before it's over. Oh, the suddenly of the integrity of the word as it's exalted. You know, I'll never cease to thank God for the true word of faith that God made real to my heart. I know some people have gone strange with it. But if you could take out of my heart the belief that God is bigger than my problems, that God's bigger than a tornado, that God's bigger than millions of dollars, that God's bigger than all the challenges. If you could take that faith out of my heart, I'd be out of the ministry today. It's my faith that wherever God sends, God supplies. And when God calls, God commissions. And when God gives you an assignment, God will finance that assignment. And He'll do it every time. I believe that. The integrity of the Word of God. Your Bible's not a little promise book. I know some people that live by the promise out of the promise book. But boy, it's a sad day when you read that Judas went out and hanged himself and the next promise said, go thou and do likewise. You need to read in the volume of the book. It's in the volume of the book that it's written. Read it. Meditate upon it. One word from God. My home pastor for so many years, Brother Carl Alcorn, I've heard him say it so many times as I was a young man growing up. He said, you can take one word from God and go around the world and be successful and return safely. One promise. The whole book is good, but one promise. A Savior is born. And you know, as I looked at this, Herod in all of his evil craftiness. You know, sometimes you get tired of Herod. I mean, it seems like he's having family reunions all the time. I mean, everywhere you go, there's a Herod. Everywhere you look, there's a Herod. Everywhere you look, someone says, I want to worship him too. No, they don't. Everywhere you go, there's a Herod. And Herod said, I'll find that little guy and I'll kill him. But God said, I'll take care of that little guy. And he said, Joseph, pays to listen to God, folks. As one of our businessmen has said, if you don't pray going in, I promise you, you'll pray God to get out. You don't just grab everything and say it's God, and this is God, and that's God. You better know what's God. You better know what's not God. If you don't pray going in, I promise you, you'll pray God to get out. You know, God spoke to Joseph and he just said one simple word, go home another way. Don't take the same road. Don't take the same pathway. Go home another way. Go home my way. How many know God's way is the best way? You know, some people, bless their heart, they're just going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it their way. They're going to do it their way. I want to do it God's way. I'm tired of my way. I'm tired of my ideas. I want a God idea. And God simply said, Joseph, go home another way. And he did. And God spared the Christ child. There's information from God that's available in this room today. God's speaking to some of you about your businesses, your investments, your marriage, friendships, relationships, what your plans are for the future. It's time for us to hear from God. And God may say, why don't you try a little different path? Why don't you just shift the balance? Why don't you just do it my way? And I promise you, when you do it God's way, it'll be good every time. God's way is not a good idea. It's the only idea in town. Herod and all of his craftiness is outsmarted by simple, quiet people who have faith in God and will listen to what God tells them. It's amazing how many people go to church with a Bible under both arms and don't hear a word that said. Go home and say, well, whatever. But oh, when I go to church or when I wake up in the morning, I say, oh, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead me, guide me. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, I will teach thee and I will guide thee. I'll show you the way to go. And God will do it when we trust in him. Suddenly, a star of hope, angels appear, faith arises, unknown names and people are spotlighted. The integrity of the word of God is exalted, a Savior is born, and Herod, with all of his threats and all of his evil, couldn't pull it off. You know, when you've come through a few situations and you tried everything that you knew to do and nothing you were doing was working and it's getting worse by the moment, and you just bow your knee and you say that famous little prayer, help! Help me, God! You take the reins. I trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. It seems like I'm going in circles. In all of my ways, I purpose to acknowledge you. And watch it, God will direct your paths. So Herod's really no big deal. He got to believe in his own press one day and worms destroyed his body and he's no more. Where are the Napoleons? Where are the Caesars? Where are the Herods? It's the men and women of faith that live on. Well, I must go quickly. There's another suddenly in Acts, the 16th chapter. Some of you are there today. You've done the right thing, but you're in an awkward situation. You've made the right decision, but you're feeling the pangs of some misunderstanding of those perhaps about you or on the job or whatever. Paul and Silas were cast in jail not for doing wrong, but for doing right. And if they were like some of us, we would no sooner be in jail, aching, groaning, bleeding, until we'd say, I didn't know this thing was coming down to this. I thought we did the right thing, but you know, in the midnight hour, it's the acid test for a charismatic to praise God when you can't get your hands and your feet up. In the midnight hour, they begin to sing praises unto God. You say, well, I tried that. Now, that's the problem. You tried it. You didn't trust it and you didn't continue with it. And they just kept on praising the Lord. They said, we're not going anywhere anywise. We might as well just praise the Lord. And they just kept on praising the Lord. And they just kept on praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, the jail began to rock. And their bands were loosed. And everyone in the jail was set free. And you know the story as well as I do. The jailer came out trembling, ready to thrust himself with his own sword. And they cried out, do thyself no harm. And then they proceeded to answer their question, what must I do to be saved? And there you see the suddenly of household salvation. I mean, the probability of this man's house being saved in the middle of the night He's already gone to bed for the night. Now there's this earthquake. He gets up and it looks like the prisoners are gone. And he cries out and he gets some instruction that said, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved in all of your house. Folks, are you ready? Some of you aren't ready for your loved ones to be saved. Are you ready for your loved ones to be saved? Are you ready for household salvation? Are you ready when they pass you on the freeway of spirituality and you have to start doing some double time? Instead of complaining about that husband, all of a sudden he's the one saying, come on, honey, we're going to church. We're going to church Sunday. We're going to church Thursday. We're going to the prayer meeting. We're going to whatever they're doing down there. Suddenly, the suddenly of praise and worship. Thank God the angels of God got involved and there was household salvation. There's another suddenly, really kind of started over in Joel 2:28. And I was reading it, and I'll tell you, I had a little private praise the Lord. Joel, actually 2:23, beginning, be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years. Some of you ought to absolutely seize that moment. God didn't say, I'll restore to you some little thing. God said, I'll restore to you the years. God's not in this place today to help you a little bit. God's here to restore what the enemy has stolen from you. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And then going down to verse 28 for the sake of time, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And whosoever, verse 32, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revival, revival, revival. Church, I don't know what it's going to take to wake America up. When the percentages of votes went like they did, the ministry has an awesome challenge ahead of us of biblical re-education. Somehow we've got to buck this tide of humanism. Somehow we've got to buck this tide of it doesn't make any difference. As I looked at this, my God, this nation needs revival more today than it's ever needed revival. Just because an election goes a certain way, that's not the answer to revival. It's the beginning, but that's not the answer. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts the second chapter and referred back to Joel. You see, it was prophesied with Joel. It started on the day of Pentecost, but listen to me, the last chapter of revival has not been written. I said Joel prophesied about it. It was initiated on the day of Pentecost, but the last chapter, the last book, the last volume about Holy Ghost revival has not yet been written. We've got to have more than church as usual. It cannot be just the status quo. There was the suddenly of the prophecy through Joel, the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. And then, thank God, the latter rain. A few years ago, I thank God for anything that stirs people up. There was a group called the Latter Rain, and at least they had some fire. They had some zeal. They had a vision. Some of them went a little too far with it, but most people didn't go far enough with it. But let me tell you something. Whatever you call latter rain, I'm talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, first of all, beginning with the revival of the church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, God said, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. There can be no harvest of souls outstanding until there's a revival in the church. I made a decision in 1993 and I stand by it to this good hour. Everything's not exactly like I like it, and it's not exactly like I want it to be. But if you think I've forgotten revival, you have another thing coming. There's something in me that burns every day of my life. Oh, God, do it again. God, do it in a greater way. Oh God, will this be the Sunday when the fire of God will fall until I'm not able to minister and they're not able to walk out of there for a while? Will this be the Sunday when the glory cloud of God hides the lighting in the sanctuary and all we can see is the glory of God? I thank God for your nice place to live. I thank God for your nice car to drive. I thank God for your clothing. But folks, our families need more than things. We need God. We need God. We need God. We must have spiritual revival. We don't need revival. We must have revival. When the high percentage of this nation said there's absolutely nothing wrong with abortion or late-term abortion, I mean, we've got a sick nation on our hands, folks. Somebody's got to get their mouth open and call America to repentance. Someone's got to get their mouth open and say, before we can have revival, there must be repentance. Before there can be a harvest of souls, there must be repentance. Hardness of heart. My sin's not as bad as your sin. Doesn't hurt to tell a lie as long as you don't get caught. And then if you get caught, well, you get out of it. I'm crying out. I don't know how it's all going to happen. But I'm asking you, church, to pray unto God on a daily basis. God, send revival and start the work in my heart. Start the work in my family. Change me, oh God. I can never forget 93 when people that would come to church once or twice a month, if it was convenient, come late and leave early, would stay for 4 hour and 5 hour services. Took their sick leave. Took their extra days. They did whatever it took to have revival. And there's some of you in this auditorium, revival changed your life. But we can't sit on it. We can't stay there. We've got to go forward. I don't have all the answers. Brother Rodney called me the other morning about 3 o'clock in the morning from Manila. That's about his time to talk. And we were just talking along some of these lines. Folks, we don't need revival. Our nation must have revival. And if you think that sounds strong and it's really not as strong as it should be, you need to go back to the early 1700s and 1800s and see what this nation was literally founded on. See what we were literally founded on. And it's time for ministers and pastors to open their mouth across this land. And I'm not going to agree with unrighteousness, and I'm not going to pet sin, and I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. We're going to preach stronger than we've ever preached before. Loving everyone, but calling a church and a city and a nation to repentance unto God. Well, suddenly, I'm ready for some suddenlies. I'm ready for some suddenlies. I'm ready for some angels to appear. I'm ready for another day of Pentecost. I'm ready to praise God at midnight when there's nothing to encourage you except your faith in God. I'm ready to cry out with Joel and with Peter, oh God, do it again. But you know, there's another note over in Mark, the 13th chapter, and I won't stay there but just a moment. We see the suddenly of the danger of being asleep when the church is caught out of here. Jesus is coming again, folks. I don't care what anybody says, what anybody believes, what new theology has come down. I've heard people say, but I've heard that all of my life. I have too. One of the first memories of my little boy life was hearing Jesus is coming. The church is going to be caught out of here. Church is going to be caught out of here. Church, I'm asking you to live every day with eternity in view. This is not legalism. This is not living in fear. I'm a faith man from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. But we've got some sloppy agape and some greasy grace. And we need to get back to just doing what the book said to do. Just get back to doing what the book said to do. He's coming again. Whether you like it, whether I like it, whether denominations like it, whether some of the new enlightened theologians like it or not, one of these days there's going to be a bunch of us missing around here. There's going to be a mass exodus. But you know, I don't live for that. I'm ready for that, but I don't live for that. You know what I'm living for? I'm living for another harvest. I'm living to get some more people saved. Someone said, well, I know people that believe that, and they're always just hanging out. You know, they're afraid. They live in fear, and they live. No, I'm not living in fear, and I'm not living negative. The only reason I want to stay here a little bit longer is to win more people to Jesus. The only reason I want to stay here a little bit longer is to see more families come to the Lord, to see more miracles happen, to see God do a great work in our land. I've got my first class ticket ready. I've ridden in the back of the bus long enough. I've got my first class ticket. I'm leaving out of here first class. Suddenly. Turn to your neighbor and say, suddenly. Ready or not, it's going to happen to someone. And it might as well happen to us. Suddenly is to watch for angelic appearances, household salvation, signs, wonders, and miracles and healings. Revival fires burning as never before. A harvest of souls coming to Jesus. Supernatural financial breakthroughs for you, for our church. I don't know where all the money's coming from, but I know God has supernatural breakthroughs for us and for you and for your family and your ministry. Just get ready, get ready, get ready. Don't let the devil get you in that old hangdog, negative, nothing good ever happens to me. If something good happens, it always happens to someone else and it'll just keep on happening. Oh, I like to wake up in the morning and say, if anything good happens today, it's going to happen to me. If anything good happens today, it's going to happen to my family. Oh, if any good thing happens in the city today, I believe it's going to happen in the church that I pastor and to the ministries that look to us for leadership and friendship and relationship. Praise God. We're not hiding out until He comes. We want to lead the parade and go out here with a blaze of glory. Suddenly. Man, I'll tell you, it couldn't be any slower than it was before Jesus was born. It was slow, slow, slow. Some of you might say, man, you don't understand how slow it is in my life. Have you lost your vision? Have you lost your faith? Have you lost the Word? Have you lost your expectancy? If not, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. For as your faith is, so be it unto you. Suddenly, suddenly. You know, we could all leave here today. Your family could all be saved today. There could be a jailhouse rock in the middle of the night and some of your relatives get saved. The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Don't throw your dream away. Don't throw your vision away. Say, Lord, right now, quicken it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, quicken your word in me. Start a new move of the Spirit of God in me.